We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It is a Monday in October. A lot of people wondering, will the Michael Myers Halloween theme music be played on a day like today in the future? It's possible.
We'll start possible. Next Monday.
Next Monday for Myers Mondays. And
Myers Mondays will do for 3 weeks leading up to Halloween.
Okay. And then the full shoot and match for Halloween. I love it. Into October. Beautiful day now. Cold this morning, but beautiful now.
Beautiful day. I had my own Myers situation on the weekend. Had a golf weekend. We do it every year. And my brother shows up in a Greg Norman straw golf hat. And people are going up to him at two of my courses saying, "Hey, O-Dog, how's it going?" And he's not saying that I'm his brother. So for anybody that saw the guy with the straw hat, that was not me.
Wow, what a
message. Dude, Hayes, I showed you the picture, how ridiculous, because I couldn't find my ball, and he placed the straw hat on the ground, so I had to pick it up. It's the most outrageous thing for, like, a cool person to buy. And he's like, "Yeah, I got it on, you know, gregnorman.ca, and it was $40. And I'm like, who would ever want that thing?
It's crazy.
It's outrageous.
It's the last. I would wear squares for the rest of my life before I wore that hat for a round of golf.
I just can't think of nerdy Norman? Things to wear out there, but that would be the last one. I don't know.
It's the goofy Crocodile Dundee hat, though, Noodles. The hat is a goofy hat.
It's a straw cowboy hat with a shark logo on it.
But is it because Greg Norman is who he is? If that was somebody else that was cooler that wore the hat?
Noodles, I don't know. This guy takes the Greg Norman, like, shark hat off, and he puts a cowboy hat on. Like, he replaces it after golf with a cowboy hat. So I don't know the reasoning for it. But he was saying hi to people, and I just have to clarify that that was not me.
Yeah, you guys do look alike. I could see that. I think to answer your question, Noodles, no. Like, I don't care who the coolest guy is on tour. If he's wearing that hat, I don't think it lands. But because it is Norman, and he represents what he represents now, you know, the Great White Shark and Live Tour.
Live and all that.
Yeah, it's
I'm calling BS on this, because if Tiger Woods wore a straw hat,
he did. Everyone would wear a straw hat. He wore a straw hat at the USAM that said Sawgrass on it, and he never wore it again.
But I'm saying, if Tiger Woods' go-to thing was a straw hat,
then straw hat companies would go out of business. But he does not wear it.
You're right, Noodles. That super fans would be like, "I'm wearing a red shirt and black pants and a straw hat because Tiger wears it."
Exactly.
You're right. And luckily for them, because they would do whatever he does, that wasn't a thing, right? Because if it was, I think even Nike would be like, "Dude, we can't replace the shark with a swoosh. No one's buying this." But some people would, because it's Tiger. Some people would, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's my only thing is there are people that will buy into it and follow their favorite athletes no matter what. Right. I just think when you think about Greg Norman right now, like, his name is mud. And you people are like, "Oh, I hate that stupid hat." But at some point in your lifetimes, you loved that man and you loved his hat. You loved his golf.
Possibly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm not one of them. I was never a Norman guy. But I understand what you're saying. There were people in the 90s that loved Norman. I'm sure there's golfers in Australia that exclusively wear that hat. But I don't get the hat. I don't understand the hat. I don't think it blocks the sun
out.
There
is only one appropriate.
I don't think it does anything.
It doesn't do anything. It's the ugliest hat you've ever seen. Noodles, I'm going to send Grappler the picture I took in my brother's hat, and I'll show you how ugly it is.
Okay, but
the only time we should get three straw ones, beige colored, and if there's an absolute great white shard on the weekend and we're in studio on Monday, we all got to wear them.
I'll wear it.
Possibly like Masters Week. Could we maybe mix? We get the hoodies. Do we wear one of the days, you know, of the Masters Week? Would we wear that hat? Possibly. Yeah, I don't know.
If you soil yourself, you have to wear the hat for sure. Like, so we got to have the hat Monday or the hat Tuesday. It might have to be after performance. Like, that guy needed to wear the hat.
Right. It's paying homage to how awful someone else was as opposed to shining a light on our own ineptitude. Which
exactly.
It would be a daily occurrence if we started that. Right. That's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
Because we're
true.
Screwing up constantly on this show. but Mackenzie Hughes did not do that. We should point out Mackenzie Hughes will join us at 5:30 today. And now he's won multiple times on tour. He could have been feeling like Norman at some point, like in terms of the nerves yesterday.
Dude, the short game was outrageously good, Hayes.
So good. Yeah, so good. And like he had to, on the 72nd hole, get down in two from over the green. The first playoff, he had to get up and down out of the sand, did it. And then he throws a dart in there on the second one, and of course he hits that putt. And Sepp Straka and his squares. Listen, those squares had him striping the ball, but the squares don't help your putt. That's the issue. You know,
Were you surprised Mackenzie Hughes putted from that far away on the 72nd? I was like, that putt is so long. Even a tour pro might like just jack that by 15 feet. That was a 70-foot putt.
I would have been surprised, but as they were saying, like he did it the day before and he hit the putt, right? On the Saturday he did, and I think it was who was down there? I can't remember who was the one that was on the bag or was at 18, but they set off his putter on the 72nd hole. It looked as if he had hit it long, and he didn't. He lagged it beautifully, and then, of course, hits the putt and pushes a playoff. But shout-out to Mackenzie Hughes. Canadians winning on tour. That's great to see. So he will join us in about an hour and a half. The Jays had their big celebration on Friday night, even though they clinched technically on the Thursday.
Right.
And they played like they knew a party was coming because they lit up the Boston Red Sox.
Dude, they should just start ripping beers and cigs every night. They're just dominant. Yeah. They're crushing everyone.
Yes, they are crushing everyone. Whit Merrifield clearly had himself a time because Whit Merrifield has one of the hottest bats in baseball.
Dude,
right
I asked you about him 10 days ago. He was kind of not in the lineup or whatever. I'm like, what is this guy all about? And you're like, well, he's not that guy here. Now he looks like a guy.
He looks more than a guy. Like, Merrifield's hitting .421 and with four homers in his last 11 games. That's a bat you cannot take out of the lineup. You know, like, Espinal, if he's healthy and available, you're sitting, man. You're not, like, whoever it's going to be. If you have a clean, healthy lineup, Whit Merrifield, the way he's going right now, is going to perform for you. Alec Manoah was just announced prior to us coming on the show. He is the AL Pitcher of the Month. And he finishes the month with a .88 ERA, the lowest for 1 month for any pitcher in Blue Jay history.
That's impressive.
So, yeah, man, they're coming in hot. Like, if they win tonight, Seattle loses tonight. Either way, I think it's becoming abundantly clear here. They are going to end up with home field in the wild card and play Seattle. And I like their chances the way they're playing right now. I like their chances a lot. Like, Seattle's got a very formidable 1-2-3. In terms of starting pitchers, and they pitch very well. They got a top 10, you know, arms in baseball collectively in terms of starters, in terms of a bullpen.
Yep.
But the Jays, the way that they're pitching right now, it's been better. Their bats are alive, and they're partying, and like you said, man, beers and darts. Like,
yeah,
there's that
I
picture
love
it. Of Romano.
It was so weird. It was like they're just getting after it, and I'm like, they kind of got to still win some games, and they're blowing darts and winning and beers, and I'm like, they're old school, man. They're
but were there
school.
People that took offense? Like, I loved it, and I had no problem. You guys know I like an old school person.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
the hurt feelings
were people,
crowd would have
yeah,
been like,
yeah, were there people
oh,
like,
like that.
He's smoking or whatever. People would be shocked. And, Hayes, we all know people that were legendary athletes that smoked mm-hmm. regularly. Like, it may not be great for your health, obviously, but I can smoke. Half dozen guys I played with were regular smokers. Not just like, hey, when I had a couple beers. It's like, yeah, behind the bus, like that type of stuff. It happens. You just would be shocked to know it. And a lot of baseball players, What do you think? I mean, I know, is Chew outlawed, right? Is it like in the dugout?
It is in terms of like during the game.
Right.
You know, obviously on your own time, you can do whatever you want.
It's not outlawed during the game. The guys, they all do it. Like there's 10 guys in every team that dip.
Yeah. They have, it's like pouches. There is something that's allowed, but I like chewing tobacco has been outlawed, I believe.
Right. My whole point is that guys have vices, just like every human being. They have vices. I kind of loved it. Like, Romano, I loved as anyways. Like, throw a dart in there. I mean,
Hey, listen.
I think every celebratory's got 10 guys where they have their fifth beer. Somebody goes, who's got the darts? Let's get it going.
Exactly. Everyone's got buddies like that where they don't smoke and legitimately don't. But if it's a guy's weekend and they're drinking all weekend, they are also smoking 7 packs of cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, it's gone. And we'll see you in 8 months or whatever. And I don't know what's going on there, but it is a different world today in terms of the reaction, in terms of health and sports science. But if you're ever going to pull it off, you might as well do it when you're celebrating a playoff spot. What are they going to do, not pitch them in the ninth?
Yeah,
you think Josh Snyder's sitting there saying, I refuse to put you in the game now because some people might be disappointed. He's an adult making a call and they're winning games, man. So the Jays are in a good spot.
I think it's awesome. I thought it was awesome. Personally, I saw that picture and I'm like, good on you. Like, I don't know if the Jays would want that out there, but who cares? Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we live in a world now where everything's sanitized. Everything's got to be – you got to be careful with everything because if someone's disappointed, then that means, you know, you've got to, I guess, take it down or respond in jest or whatever. But, listen, the Jays have themselves a party, and I'll tell you who's very happy that they're not going to face them again is the Boston Red Sox. The Jays went 16-3. With an aggregate score of 119-52.
Wow.
Like,
they had a couple clobberings in Boston, didn't they, where they put up put up 25 one night.
They did.
Was it 25 or 27? It was something ridiculous.
Yep.
Like, I also thought they had, like, an 18-11. Was that in Boston, too? Like, they had
And then they had nine. You know, like, that's all they do is put, like, Boston is not a good team.
Right.
And I'm curious to see what they do in the future in terms of trying to get back into the race, because the Yankees are good, the Jays are good, and will continue to be. Baltimore's coming, and Tampa does it every year. So I'm not losing sleep. I couldn't care less if Boston goes back into the tank for years, for decades. See you later. You know, you had your run. You've had a good time. No one's going to concern themselves with the Boston sports scene to make sure that they're feeling good about themselves.
Right.
But the Jays just mopped the Red Sox all season. So they're in action tonight down in Baltimore, and the Leafs are in action in Montreal, and I guess Matt Murray is going to play the whole game tonight, and so far so good, right, in terms of camp, in terms of there's been some health issues, and Tavares is back in the ice, Liljegren's back in the ice, Sandin's back in town, but for the most part, considering where we were a week ago, I remember saying it's kind of a dark cloud over this team. When they're on the ice playing, they look okay, and you know, if you're healthy enough opening night, I think they should feel good about where the season is going at a minimum.
Big for Matt Murray, isn't it, Jamie, tonight to kind of continue to feel good about himself? He played two periods at home. He kind of got that off of his chest and seeing the Toronto crowd. Just continue to build momentum because eyes are just going to be on this guy. And it's like he's such a massive part of success early. And if it goes south for him, it's going to be like, okay, you got the other kid, but the questions are going to come about, why did you go and get this guy if it doesn't work out?
I think whether it's fair or not, we're going to be talking about him for, like, almost every storyline. Like, regardless, he played well, let's see, because he could have a great start, and then there'll be a dip, and people will be like, ah, we've seen this before, saw it in Ottawa, saw it. Like, this is going to be a very, very taxing year mentally for Matt Murray, just based on expectation, marketplace, all of that type of stuff. So, you know what? First game looked good. Let's see how he looks in Montreal. We're going to talk about him a lot. Nick Robertson's a guy that we're going to talk about because he's got some goals. He looks
good.
Done
what he's supposed to do. He scored goals.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I like the fact, I don't know how you guys feel, I like the fact that he's getting a little snip a little higher in the lineup. Because that's, when you're a goal scorer, you could speak to this. When you're a goal scorer, you need to play with guys who have creative ability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like guys who can get you the puck. So let's see what it's made of. You know, let's see. He's so far, if you had maybe a five-step, you know, amount to check off, He's a couple steps in for me. He's looked pretty good, looked comfortable. He still has to get, you know, up as far as now we're into exhibition where a lot of the regulars are playing more. It's not, you know, fantasy camp type of thing where you don't recognize half the players that are on the ice. Like this is the time where teams are getting ready, and for the most part, their rosters are almost carved out. This is an important time for Nick Robertson for me.
Absolutely. He's right there. I think he's on the verge of making the team. I think, listen, there's a lot of detail that goes into a game in terms of building your lineup, in terms of describing a player, and in terms of recognizing the value of a player and what he can bring to your lineup. But ultimately, if you're a forward and you can score, there's no better attribute to have. Like, it is the most valued attribute, more so than anything else, because the essence of the game is still the same it was 100 years ago. Who scores more goals? You can't have enough goal scorers. And he scored a junior. He scored in the minors. If he can score in the NHL, he will play in the NHL. Right? Yep. Like, they are not sending him down if they forecast that he can score 25 in the NHL. Because you can work with what else you need to work with. Still a young guy, you know, defensively, neutral zone, putting on weight. You know, there's different things, of course, he's got to work on. He's not a perfect player. He'll never be a perfect player. But if they can look at him and say he can be an impact on the second power play and he can score goals in the NHL, they're going to give him chances. And they should, because you can never have too much of that. And especially during the season, it's a long run, man. There are guys that get hot, guys that get cold. If Tavares isn't ready early, you got to find goals.
Well, they
do. If he can bring that, that's huge.
I talked about if he does crack the team, that his power play time, it won't be a whole bunch. If he's on a secondary power play unit with those horses they have up front, who basically, I believe, have the green light to stay out there for the most of the power play, and they should. So goal scoring is so important because, as you said, Brian, that's the whole game. He's just got to find one little other thing that he can do extremely well that the coach can see value in. Getting in on a forecheck, I don't really believe he's going to run somebody over. But if he's not going to have quality kind of offensive shifts, he's got to find a little something where the coach is like, you're not scoring, but you're doing that, and that can keep you in the lineup.
Here's the thing.
Season and you can starts, pick whatever that would be.
You're right. But based on injuries and what we believe right in front of us right now, season starts today. Did they give him a look at that second line on the left side? Because that's – Engvall is – even on his best days, I think he's a more of a 9-12 player,
I agree.
Right?
So, that's been clarified.
With Mikheyev out, that left side, unless they want to push Kerfoot there, which is still – possible, and he's a Swiss Army knife. You know, Robertson could be a guy that could see, you know, that third, second line role if he can settle in. If not, you know, there's no shame at his age and where he's at to play for the Marlies or up and down, have one of those transition years where it's like, hey, you're going to play a bunch of games in the minors and you're going to play in the NHL, and we're going to kind of put you to work this year and continue your development. But if he continues on this path, I like the fact that he could play in a top nine for sure role and get looks. That's what he needs to do. He's not out there in the fourth line banging around. To me,
no, I don't see that as an option.
Useless.
No, I don't think that's an option. I think with the Tavares injury, again, you're probably moving Kerfoot to the middle of the ice, which does open up that opportunity, you know, for him. So, yeah, I could see that being the case. I could see, you know, if Tavares isn't ready, maybe a second line of Robertson, Kerfoot, Nylander. I'm not sure exactly how it will shake out. But, yeah, I think he is playing himself into that opportunity. Again, it doesn't mean he's playing 82 games. I think it's still with him about development. But also in terms of the overall mandate of the organization, it's making sure you have everyone available to supply something come the playoffs. You know, so that is probably a consideration with him. What is going to put him in a spot where come March and April, if they need him, he's going to be in a position where he can perform and help. But he's looked good, you know, for the most. He's done what he's supposed to do. He scores goals, and that's what he's done. And he scored it in a variety of ways.
AZ, does he look good with line mates like me and Luke and Al's brother look as a line?
Well,
because I think there's some jealousy seeping in because you're on the text train now with the fellas, our team. And we are schmoozing, and we've got Mojo, and Luke's involved, and I think you're a little bit jealous.
I'm not jealous at all. I did not want to be a part of that text chain. I didn't want to because I don't need it. I don't need to hear you three babble on about why you pick something or why something's going against you or why you're going to win, even though, you know, it's the first drive of the game. But listen, you needed to bring in the big guns. You had a pretty good weekend. You hammered two off, and you pushed another one. I went 2-0 on my own without a Super Bowl champ. It is what it is. You know, what are you going to do? I'm just trying to plug
Ravens
along.
Ravens are frauds.
I'm just trying to plug along.
Are yeah? frauds.
So, yeah. And this yeah. guy, Al's brother, who is still well below the Mendoza line, he has a big day yesterday, Noodles, and it's obnoxious. It's over the top.
But it's heroic. But here's the thing. We never addressed the head-to-head battle between Luke and Al's brother.
Right.
That Seattle-Detroit game. And Seattle came out on top, although they squeaked it off at the end. Like, that got a little interesting. Pete Carroll's a beauty. I love that guy. But that's Al's brother a couple weeks ago being a hero, and nobody called him to the carpet on it. We completely forgot.
Because we knew he was going to claim another victim, Noodles. Like, that's what happened. He stole a soul because he latched on to Detroit, which I didn't think was possible to make Detroit a sympathetic figure,
dude,
but
Detroit
they are.
Scores a lot of points, but they just don't win.
Exactly. It's like a college team that they know they're going to lose 64-61. And this is the issue. Like, Dan Campbell, someone better start biting some kneecaps in Detroit, or old Dan Campbell's going to be on his way out, because the clips, the heroics, the great camp, you know, hard knocks, at the end you're 1-3 and you still suck if you're in Detroit. And Dan Campbell was a bad team last year. It's a bad team again this year. And
buddy, it's a bad team since
it's just a bad
forever.
Scene.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't know how to turn it around because it's been bad forever. I mean, what's a comparable?
I don't know if there is one in the NFL. In fact, I know that there's not.
Well,
because
put it this way, Luke Wilson's from there and he hates their guts. Like, that is something. And he played for
them.
He's
an alumni. Like, he's got an alumni jacket that he won't wear.
That is
probably
light it
on fire.
That is the most telling tale. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who grew up a fan from there. He's from there, played for them, and absolutely despises them. Like, there's no other telling tale. Like, all you have to do is go listen to that guy talk about that organization.
It's very difficult to do. Yeah, he grew up loving the Lions. He played for the Lions, and he hates the Lions. It seems impossible, but it's the truth. And I don't blame him because, again, they lost again. And you're right. It didn't even come up enough. It's Seattle versus Detroit. Al's brother's Lions. Not only again, they didn't cover, they also didn't win, right? It was another Seattle outright
win.
They had
no fighting amongst teammates. See, they put the team ahead of personal vendettas.
That's my point, man, is there's already issues in Camp Luke's brothers. And I'm on the game tonight, Rams at Niners. I'm seeing the board pretty well. You know, I almost had an immaculate week last week. I went 2-0 yesterday. My main man, European Kirk, had himself a jolly afternoon in London.
And, it wasn't prime time, that's why.
Exactly, it's not prime time. It was European Kirk. Get him out of the country. Get him out of the time zone, and Kirk Cousins can make it work. But honestly, it's a good battle this week because you guys got a push in that Bills game. I went 2-0. You went 2-0-1, and now I'm on the clock with a game tonight. So
what the hell was going on in that Bills game? Like, that
credit to Buffalo
else.
Bills.
Yep.
You know that that is the sign of a very good team.
Yeah.
When you're playing a good team in Baltimore that's got you on the ropes in their building and you come back and win, that is the that's a more impressive win than I think opening night in LA. A really impressive yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow. Crappy raining, could have packed it in, said don't have it today, and they got it done. That was impressive.
Was the excuse train out, though? I couldn't figure that out on the other side. Was the, you know, there was a, like, it felt like,
Baltimore,
we gave up.
Mean?
Yes. Was the excuse train out? Like, I
don't think so. Lamar threw a bad pick in the end zone. That cost him the game. That was it. Like, that's a bad pick,
I
man.
I mean, flat out, like, I thought the Bills were really good, and they obviously storming back. But that's some impressive work by them. Like,
absolutely.
Just to go in there. And I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot of excuses after the game.
Harbaugh's always talking out. You know, Harbaugh tries to explain losses all the time. And I don't think he does a very good job of it. But I don't know if any coach does. Especially coaches with a history of winning. Because they're not comfortable trying to explain a loss. You get a guy that loses all the time. Dan Campbell could probably Shakespearean. You know, him trying to explain how they lost the game. Couldn't possibly tell you how they would have won it. But anyway, Luke Wilson will join us just after 5 o'clock. We got Mackenzie Hughes in about an hour. Chris Johnston back. He's coming up a little after 6 o'clock with the Leafs in action tonight. We've got numbers 31 through 50 on the TSN Top 50 list. We will get into some of the names that came up in the 30s, some of the names in the 40s. Couple of surprises, couple of guys that I admittedly did not have on my list.
I knew it. I knew it.
A couple I did not have on my list. One I just outright forgot, I have to be honest.
not the worst. We all do it. You're like,
every year I look at one guy, I'm like, I didn't write him down on my list.
The quizmaster used to call me every year, and he's like, you know you missed this guy, right? And I'm like, you got to squeeze him in somehow and help me out, because it's embarrassing. It's
like, honestly, it's like Drysdale. You forgot Leon Drysdale.
He sent me a note. He sent me a note on Cider. Because I left Cider off my
list. I had
list.
Him on my list.
But I left him off. But I had him in the notables. And I was like, I can't find a spot. I should have found a spot for him, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And that's on me. But, like, I did get a note from the quizmaster going, a lot of people choosing this guy.
He takes offense to it, and he takes it personally. He's like, you got to rethink this. That's basically what he's saying if he calls. You know, you got to redo it. You got to redo it.
I said... Next year. That's what I wrote back. Next year. Let's see how it shakes out. It's probably. I admitted it. I said, yeah, I had him on my list, and then I took him off.
I just wish, Jamie, he would please rank what he thinks the guy. And just, if you got a bad one,
he's convinced that's the way it happens anyway.
You think he says, I like this guy's, this one's terrible?
Oh, I think the list was done on August 5th. And now it's just everyone contributes, and then, you know, he's like,
But you don't think he calculates anything? It's his list, and we're just all chiming in with maybe some options?
I think he needs to tell people that actually he took a bunch of lists in, and he might just light them on fire, like just throw them in the – might not even look at them. I know he looked at mine, obviously, because he called me out.
Don't you say that about the quizmaster. He doesn't do that.
I know he wouldn't.
I think he's reviewed it, but I think he's got a good idea of where it's going. Like, exactly. I think Ty goes to the quizmaster.
yes, for sure.
And understandably so. I mean, he's got his thumb on, you know, the spirit of the game. He knows where everything's going. But, yeah, anyway, we'll get into that a little bit more. Luke Wilson coming up. Mackenzie Hughes at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Luke Wilson in studio in about a half an hour. Mackenzie Hughes will join us in about an hour. Mackenzie Hughes with a big win yesterday, second time on tour for him, so he's feeling it. And no scandal on that front, 100% legitimate, but we'll get into this fishing scandal a little bit later on.
That's something else, man.
What a scene.
What a scene. Like, just a quick little, like, some dude got caught loading up his fish, but how did someone know he was doing that?
That's what I can't figure out. Like, the video is explosive. I mean, I love how some people are like, allegedly. It's like, what else is there to see?
The guy running the fishing tournament gutted the fish in front of everyone, and lead weights were falling out of its stomach.
Right. And, like, other fillets of other fish. Like, a fish fillet is in there. Some guy goes, it was crazy. And you're right. Because all the other competitors, there you can see it up on TSN 4, guy, like, the other competitors want to strangle these two guys.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no reason to believe they haven't been doing this the whole time. And if you're not into fishing, which I'm not, I'm sitting there thinking, who cares? What does this mean? But I was doing some, you know, homework on it. Like, there's a lot of money on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you have the heaviest fish or whatever, you bring in the most weight, you can win, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and these guys have been cheating the system, for years.
I love that he actually prefaces comments by saying, you leave now, and guys, nobody touch these guys. You know somebody's going to woodshed him in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Like, take the knees guys, right out.
Dude, that guy's going to be like me in a professional – for all the tournaments, like, going ahead. He's been cheating forever. I went to one professional fishing tournament as, like, some celebrity – and I go up to the weigh-in. They're like, all right, bring up the fish. And I'm like, we didn't catch one. I said to the pro on the boat, I'm like, dude, we got to, like, start reeling some stuff in here. He's like, I'm trying, man. Weigh-in, zero fish. Nick Antropov's going up there with, like, 30 fish. And I'm like, everyone's tough. It was embarrassing.
Better than the other guys, right? Like, they're out. I got to think that they have been completely excommunicated from that whole scene.
They're probably going to jail, man. Wow. Think of all the money that they've been ripping off of people.
Right.
But they can't, allegedly. You can't prove going back. Fish. You can only prove, they could say, oh, we we were nervous about this one. We did it for this one. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, those guys are going to get beat up in the parking lot or at a bar or something. Like, that's...
Let's get the guy on. See if he'll come on.
That's backwoods stuff.
It's a gritty... I think it's a gritty part of society. The fishing... The competitive fishing world, I'm guessing there's a lot of guys in there that are more than willing to handle it on their own. Right? Like, don't call the authorities. We'll deal with it.
Like, that's a... We're talking the Chase brothers. Like, that's right. The Clark... Like, it's Saskatchewan. Like, they'll... That, there'll be an incident. Like,
we'll take care of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll
don't call the authorities. Two. Those guys will deal with them when we see them in town, type of thing. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Because I personally, I don't know anybody who competitively fishes. I don't even know if I know. I know one person who's a good friend of mine. He goes fishing. I personally think fishing is a giant waste of time. You sit there and get
eaten
by bugs.
I'm not a huge fan either, but if it's a passion for a lot of people.
I know. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Like, I like movies. Not people love movies. You guys love golf. Like, mm-hmm. everyone has their thing. Fishing has never been anything for me.
Someone says, let's go catch the best, like, bass fish in Ontario or Edmonton, you're just going to say I'm busy tomorrow.
Edmonton, they fish a shopping cart out of the North Saskatchewan, an old tire. Like, you have to, I'm sure in Ontario they've got amazing lakes and stuff. Like, it just, it's not my thing. We went in Whistler one time on a boys' trip. It was pretty cool, actually. I will say, we floated around our own little floaties and just kind of hung out there. I didn't go, I think I caught something by accident. Like, it dragged it off the bottom. It was sleeping. Like,
listen,
that's...
It is a rush if you catch a fish. I will say that. Like, it doesn't matter. I caught a couple of, like, sunfish up in Muskoka this summer, and I thought I was, like,
loser,
a superstar.
You don't even admit that.
Sunfish.
It is. It's off the dock. What do you think? I'm pulling in a 20-pounder?
This is like a lake trout, man. Like, man the story up a tiny little
sunfish.
Bit.
Sunfish. I'm a man of integrity. I don't cheat. I don't cheat stories, and I don't cheat in competitive fishing. I put it on my Instagram account. You can see it. Like, I loved it. Like, we were pulling in sunfish like it was crazy, man. And every one of them was a rush. I can only imagine if you actually get, like, a monster fish and it's like a grind.
It did seem
easy to cheat, though, doesn't it? Like,
yes.
It seems pretty easy to somehow, like, if these guys have been getting away with it for a long time, who else has been doing this for a long time? And what other goofy sport can you cheat without anyone kind of picking up on it? I don't know. Like, you know, like,
I would have to know the backstory of how, like, do they bring those fish that are weighted and, like, throw them in and then go and try and catch them? Or, like, what are you doing there?
Yeah, you would think there would be some inspections on that, wouldn't you? Like, you inspect the boat before the competitive teams go out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's a wild scene down in the States.
Crazy. Those guys are frauds. They're flat out frauds.
Those guys might be on the fraudometer.
Big time.
The definition of the fraudometer. Absolutely.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we get the Monday nighter tonight. And last night, the Sunday nighter, had Patrick Mahomes, man, he put on a clinic. Travis Kelce put on a clinic. Andy Reid is a great coach. And I think he gets a lot of love. I don't know if he gets the amount of love he probably deserves, because Tyreek Hill's out of there. They're turning over the roster to an extent. And they go into Tampa and hang a ton of points on a Buccaneer defense that looked historically good the first 3 weeks. And, like, that Andy Reid can game plan, man.
Yeah, but those trick plays, like the one where wasn't it a wide out that went under center
snake.
And this
yeah,
or
snake,
tight end
yeah.
went under center, and that's isn't a lot of that Mahomes? Like, isn't he have some Aaron Rodgers in him where he's just like, we're just going to do this play?
Mm-hmm. He's a street baller, basically. Like, he might be the most entertaining thing going in sports when he's scrambling and he's dancing. And he's
I don't think there's
plays.
Any question.
Because, yeah, he like a couple of the plays he made last night, that is sandlot football. Like, there's no you can't prepare for it. There's
yeah,
no,
the spinorama, avoiding the tackle, and then a little flip play at the goal line. That's
see, I mean, he's so elusive, but you have to think that defense is like, I got him. I'm going to kill him this time. Because he puts himself out there. Like, he's not a massive person, but
he
puts himself out there.
And he's not that fast. He runs. He's got a weird running stride, too. You know, like, he's not overly smooth, but it gets the job done.
I'm not a big video game guy, but he runs like a character in a video game. Like, just very methodical. And I think it's awesome. Like, he's so dynamic to watch. But he's elusive. He's a superstar. And the pop play, the little flick play into the end zone.
His wife likes getting involved too, doesn't she?
She's fighting with the media down there, fighting with everyone.
Doesn't she have like a good enough life where it's like, my husband's one of the best quarterbacks in the world. They win all the time. Like, why does she keep doing that? I don't understand.
Well, I don't quite understand either because of who we're talking about, that being Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Basically 100% success rate, 100% adulation from the general public. Like, everyone's like, this guy's the best. What a player. Like, I kind of get it. Like, Patrick Reed, and I think Reed's wife, because everyone hates on Reed. You know what I mean? Right. Everyone goosed on Reed.
Everyone's got a hate on for him.
Everyone's got a hate on for him. So I can understand if you're in his inner circle, you take that personally. I guess Brian Colangelo, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know why people hated on Colangelo, but it got to a point where we believe, allegedly, maybe a significant other possibly launched all these different dummy accounts and was fighting people online, whatever. Okay.
Right.
But Mahomes...
loved.
Yeah. Why do you feel slighted? You know, anyone in his circle, how could you feel slighted if you're Mahomes? You're making a fortune. You're on every billboard, every commercial. You've won MVPs. You've won a Super Bowl. Everyone concedes you're the best.
Right.
Like, I don't get the need to fight back. What are you fighting against? Who's taking runs at Patrick Mahomes?
I don't get it. I don't know. You would like, let's be honest. There's one reason. She's doing it for attention. She loves the attention.
Well,
she's like, my quarterback's one of the best sports people on earth in all of the sports, and I want to get my little action over here in the media. There's no other reason. There is no other reason that she wants attention.
Listen.
Because she knows when she tees off on somebody, it's going to be a headline on all the awful announcing and all the Twitter handles. Brittany Mahomes is at it again, and she probably likes that, and there's no other reason.
My understanding, though, it was like, it was an opinion piece written by a fan. And she went after the paper that it was written in. And all they did was publish the piece written by the fan, saying that he cares more about what his looks or his, you know, perception on the field than he does winning. Like, that was kind of the opinion piece. I'm paraphrasing. Mm. And she was pissed about that. And people were writing to her saying, it's not the editor. It's an opinion piece from the fans. Not everyone's going to love your husband.
Right.
But again, like, she seems like she wants to storm City Hall with stuff. Like, they got a good life. Like, if you're not going to impress everyone, not everyone's going to love you. Like, it's,
no. And again, if you are a quarterback on a bad team, that's got to be tough. I get it. If you're not a very good quarterback and you're on a bad team in a big football like American City. That's tough, you know, like, even though you are making a lot of money, even though you do have access to a great life, publicly you understand you're constantly under fire. Like, that's, I understand why that would be difficult. It's similar here. If you're a star on the Leafs and the Leafs are bad or whatever, if you're the coach, the GM, it's not always easy. It's not always easy. But this is not the case with Mahomes. And sure, there are some outliers that people are going to pick. Like, that's the nature of the world we live in today. There's contrarians, there are angles that some people can take that make it unique because no one would be willing to go there in a genuine fashion.
Right.
Case in point, trying to poke and prod at what Mahomes is all about, you know. But it's going to happen. And listen, the way he played last night, and Brady took some licks last night.
Did he?
Brady, they're lucky. He's lucky he's in the South because that division's terrible. Baker Mayfield is a mess. He's a mess.
He's terrible.
He's a mess. And Carolina's a mess. Atlanta's not any good. And the Saints aren't any good. So I think 9 wins is going to win that division. Tampa's going to the playoffs. They're going to win the division. They're going to host a playoff game. They're going to win they're going to go to the playoffs. But Brady, they're lucky to be 2-2. He's been getting hit. He doesn't look good. He doesn't look happy. I don't know, man. I'm hoping for his sake. He's not opening the door to, he stuck around for one too many.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels like the door is opening a little bit, doesn't it? Like, a little bit.
Whispers.
You're starting to, whispers, you're like, this guy, I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's a good scene for him right now.
It's a little bit Marty Brodeur in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tiny bit. There was a couple throws last night where you're like, the ground ball, the one ground ball, I was like, that's not Tom Brady. And you could tell he was pissed right after that where he threw a couple lasers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's it. He looks like that one game, that playoff loss in Denver, I think the year Denver went to the Super Bowl, where it was like, this guy, that was, by the way, it seems like 10 years ago where I thought he might have been done. But he doesn't look good, man. He doesn't look good. And he has weird tweets now, too. He said we lost to a great team on Twitter with, like, Capitals great, Kansas City's great. I'm going to do some Tom Brady sports video games and try to learn how to do that Patrick Mahomes play. I'm like, that's not Tom Brady, man.
No. It was weird. Like, it just – I think, Hayes, you nailed it where he said, like, the whispers. Like, it's now, you know, 2-2 start, not electric, kind of, you know, he looks human. And people – if all of a sudden they're 2-3 or 2-4, because their schedule is not easy.
No, it's not.
What do they do with him if it's terrible and somebody else is a better option?
You know what it is? He will make himself go away. Like, if it doesn't, you know, what could make Tom Brady go, you know what, not today.
I think if it got to a point where he felt like it was really embarrassing, which it's not. Let's be clear here. It's not, like, embarrassing. It's just the offense hasn't been great. He's been getting hit more. He looks a little bit off. He took his 11 days. Like, there's just things happening that are different for Brady.
Right.
But there's no better option. You know, like, they're not pushing him out, nor should they push him out. And, again, like I said, they're still going to the playoffs. Like, they're going to win that division, I believe, because the division is so bad. And that likely will keep him going, understanding he's going to have a home playoff date. But it doesn't feel as if this is going to be anywhere close to the season he had last year, where statistically he was arguably the best quarterback in the league. We'll get into that more with Luke Wilson in about 15 minutes. Mackenzie Hughes in about 45 minutes. The Leafs in action tonight. The Jays in action tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so I feel like I've got a Truman Show thing going on downstairs. Almost positive I'm being set up because my wife, now that we're into October, you know, there's chocolate available. Everyone's preparing for Halloween, and I guess she went to a store, and they had a bunch of chocolate available for half off or something.
Why? So, it's a month away.
Exactly. But she buys it and puts it downstairs in the office, and she's like, I'm going to leave it there until Halloween, like that's going to survive.
Did you not say to her, survive. I sit in there for 3 hours?
Literally, word for word, what you just said, with the same facial reaction, and they're already gone, half of them. And I know she's going to come down here, and I'm going to get chewed out, but what do you expect out of me? What, do you think I have self-control? I have none.
No, not at all.
None
Very
whatsoever.
Very simple, the program. You put one box, hide it somewhere, like behind that Green Bay helmet, whatever. It's hidden. You goon it, and you just keep replacing. You go back to the store, look at the credit card statements, you know where she got it, and you replace. You goon and replace. Mm-hmm. Goon, replace.
I like it.
Yeah, it's smart. I mean,
goon and replace.
You could just, I mean, it depends on what it is, but you can roll by the Shoppers and grab one of those 100 pieces or whatever.
Right.
The thing is in people's mind, you're like, well, they're just small pieces, so I can have four of them. And then you put four together, that adds up to one chocolate bar or one, you know, whatever it is. Believe me, I go through the same process every year. And I overbuy. I don't know why, because I can't judge my neighborhood as to how many kids are going to show up. So I try to keep track, and then, all right, if you get 100 people, then you try and buy, you know, a couple hundred pieces or whatever. But last year, for some reason, maybe it was COVID, all of that, it was cold out. We had like 8 people show. I think it was like a really lean year. I can't remember. And now we have, I just threw out some Halloween candy from last year that I've been eating throughout the year.
Right.
Like,
no, it's a real issue because it's just, you know, you get through the summer, you feel like you're active, you should, you know, you're walking more, I don't know, you're outside, whatever. Yeah. And now you get into Halloween, you get Thanksgiving into Halloween, into the holiday season. You wake up on January 15th and it's,
it's, not
it's a miracle if you've only put on like 10 pounds. It's a miracle. It really is.
Yeah,
because it's just it's a feasting. It's 2 months of feasting, and you're miserable because you know the weather's turning, And it's just, it's the, I don't know, man. Yeah, there's something about the next 2 months. Like, it is festive because there's a lot going on. You're getting together with people. But there's also, like, in the back of your mind.
It just,
like,
screams, throw your face into a pile of candy and eat turkey and gravy and garbage. And
yeah.
It's so
it's
true.
It's dark by 4:30. You're like, forget it. What else do I have to do? That's what I'm going to do now.
We should have a contest. The guy that puts on the most feed gains the most to January 1 from right now. Mm-hmm. We give the guy a prize. Guy that just said, screw it. I'm having beers with the boys, Leaf games, Thanksgiving. I want turkey. I want Halloween. All the stuff you just talked about. Who can do the damage?
Yeah, it's. I like that idea because you got about 3 months, right? You got a 3 month trek towards just your belt exploding like Pablo Sandoval.
When you were a Griff, what do you think you put on in that 3 month stretch?
I don't know, but those were the numbers. Like, that was my busy season.
That was your analytics for that season? That was your busy season,
that was
right,
my
from
busy
October,
season.
To, October to January?
Tony Soprano during the NFL season. It's my busy season. Anyway, all right, next
Did
hour coming up.
Did you have a little secret squirrel fall sandwich you went, or just stuck with chicken
No, I didn't need to because I was, you know, I was younger. I didn't have kids around. I was living on my own. Yeah. Believe me, it was out in the open, dude. There was no squirreling around. That wasn't necessary. All right, Luke Wilson, Mackenzie Hughes in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.